man, take my hand, make my life exciting. Then see you stand by me, always supporting. I'm Gary Field, just drive a truck. I'm Gary Field, just drive a limousine. It really doesn't matter if you drive a Ferrari. I really don't care, cause I just love your company.
Hello, Art and Never listeners. It's your pal, OK, here.
Lucia's here, too.
Lucia's here, too. It's me, Producer Fox. Producer Fox in the studio.
We've been knocking back some hard ciders after a long day. A very long day.
We're at my house. We're going to go to a rave. And we're going to try to convince the ravers to go to the Ice Occupation.
Yeah. The Ice Occupation is the coolest place to have an after party. And I wrote a little script, and it's real straight. And I think we don't need it. We don't need it because we know what we're talking about.
We're back.
We're back, baby.
Art and Labor, gone for 2.5 weeks or whatever. We're back.
Yeah.
We had like...
full force.
Well, we had like 5 episodes every 2 days for a while, so...
just to let you know that we mean it.
We're just trying to show that, look, we did all these things. We're back, baby. We're just doing a quick intro to this episode. It's a quick little dispatch from the ICE Processing Center, located at the Immigration Courthouse on Varick Street in downtown Manhattan, where currently there are protesters occupying the premises on a 24/7 watch.
Until further notice, there's going to be people there in need of support, and really, if you just want to go down there and get somebody a pizza, that's also going to be really well received.
Yeah, mostly they are good on supplies, but they need people there.
I mean, who knows, though? They were good on supplies in the middle of the afternoon. They might need a pizza at 4 a.m. because people will be there. It's
true. The best thing to do is to check. The hashtag is OccupyICENYC, and then there's Mac, who we talked to in this episode, and their Twitter is at MACC_NYC. So we urge everyone who's listening now to find the time to support this occupation, because they need people. They just need people to go and fill the block up, and especially in the weird ass hours in the morning.
Mm-hmm. So if you're going to any pride parties this weekend and you need a place to come down,
yo, fuck your Airbnb. Stay on the street.
Mm-hmm. Don't even change. Why are you going to change?
Mm-mm.
Take your fabulous ass down to Varick Street.
Perform for the protesters. They're bored. They're there all day.
They need excitement in their lives because they're hanging out with cops who hate them.
And the cops just walk by and they're intimidating and weird. And they're just fucking...
There's no love. There's no love there, and they need a little friendliness.
You know, if you see any weird unmarked vans, then you stop them and
moon them.
Yeah, I mean, they need help. Follow MacNYC for any updates. You know, because they're processing. This is like where they're occupying right now is a processing center. They were thinking about, you know, potentially different spots like. ICE has a way of taking up temporary spaces and just being like intentionally vague and like moving around a lot.
Yeah,
and
apparently they're using churches.
Yeah.
They're using strange.
Like, they're like pretending to be schools. You'll hear it in the episode.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird. So.
If anyone wants to keep their eyes peeled too and. You know, keep the information circulating on anything suspicious, like a bus full of unattended children who are not going to a school and are being trucked around in the middle of the day.
Follow MacNYC for any updates. But they are hoping to have a a good crowd of people for Monday to be able to hold it down, because Monday is, of course, when the work week starts again. Yeah.
The courts are opening back up, and we want to have a good contingent force, and it's going to be sunny. It's going to be nice and sunny out on Monday. Yeah. All the rain is going to be passed, and it would be great to have a show of force, whether or not we know exactly where everyone is going. It's going to be good to.
But yeah, for now they got a great collect. They got a great like squat on Varick Street. Play space to just like chill and talk to people who also just like want to know what they can do, and you can learn about different orgs in your city. Mm-hmm. There's different ICE occupations all over the country right now. So,
oh, and if you're an investigative journalist.
Yeah. Yeah, they want to know.
Yeah.
Folks want to know where the actual detentions are happening and where they can go to block them.
Mm-hmm.
De-arrest people and the like. So yeah, a full episode coming soon, maybe tomorrow.
We
recorded a full episode hanging out at the Occupy spot. They're not calling it an encampment yet.
No. But,
the squat, I don't know. Yeah.
The protest,
yeah. So we recorded an episode at the protest, and that'll be coming soon. But for now, enjoy this dispatch. Bye.
Bye.
Hello.
Hey, everybody. We're out on Varick Street today.
It's grown bigger. When we started here, there were maybe 5 people. Now there's easily quadruple that.
Yeah. And the snacks are like 1-to-1.
Very good snacks.
Do you want some coffee?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, fighting ICE is hard work.
Hi, so we are here with folks from the Metropolitan Anarchist Coordinating Council? Got it. MAC.
They're sporting very crisp graphics.
T-shirt.
Anarchy spread across the land.
So we're at 201 Varick, where there's like an occupation that's growing bigger as the day goes on, and it's been going since Thursday?
Since Thursday at 5. Yeah.
And were there any arrests?
There was one arrest. That person has since been released and arraigned and released, and has legal support and everything. Do you want me to pull?
Oh, you're good.
Okay. I don't want to.
Yeah. No, it's okay. We're just
here's
checking.
Here's a good center.
I like the fuzziness.
There's a little readout.
Yeah, it's friendly.
It's supposed to help
cute.
With the wind.
Oh, nice.
Talking to this
and
little Totoro.
Cute. Yeah. It's cute.
Yeah. So, like, I know folks were talking about that this isn't exactly a detention center. Do you know anything else about that?
Yeah, that's a good question. That was a question that I had in the beginning of our very quick planning around this. There was actually a General Assembly on Thursday night, and the discussion about this action didn't really get to take off there. It kind of happened in a different way. So throughout that, we were almost thinking, like, maybe we'll go to New Jersey and go to the detention center in Elizabeth and do something there and collaborate with locals in the area. But
to be clear, this is a processing center.
This is a processing center where people are brought once they get through the processing center, they're sent to a jail. So there's 4 or 5 different county jails that they would be sent to. And so we're here to have a presence and be a nuisance, but we're not here to slow down any bond hearing processes which happen at this location. As far as paying bond, like, we're also aware that that happens on in a building on Federal Plaza. So we kind of did some research before deciding what and how we're going to do this.
Do you know if there are still, like, daily immigration cases going on in this facility, or has it kind of been taken over by ICE? Or?
I know that this is, as far as, like, different immigration cases, I mean, they might label some as criminal. They might also label some as, like, well, criminal mostly, and then, yeah, just ICE picking people up. But I don't actually know. I think that at this facility, it's like anything goes. It's not necessarily...
It seems to be multi-purpose.
It's multi-purpose, yeah. I know that there is a place in the city that is just criminal. But I can't remember where that is.
Place to kind of pick people up if they're coming in for an immigration case, then ICE can just kind of, like...
Take them.
Yeah, shuffle them into another...
Derail. Yeah.
Scenario.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's a good central location for a lot of people to come meet. It's also Pride Month, and there's a lot of marches and parades happening, and they keep coming through. And
yeah.
It's very interesting.
Well, the Pride March ends over down here tomorrow. Too.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
my
just,
God.
They could just come
just
right
come
over here.
Yeah,
right.
That's what we're hoping.
So convenient.
We want a flyer and let people know
Oops,
this is
our
going
float
on.
Just accidentally broke down in front of the garage. What are we going to do?
Oh, I guess we'll come join these people. Yeah, and we're calling it a rolling occupation, not a full encampment. I think there might be some organizations that are promoting to bring tents, but MAC specifically, which I'm a part of, isn't doing that because we're also aware that we could be moved at any given time, and that could very well start happening on Monday when they are bringing ICE vans into this facility. So that's something that I think is important for people to know. We're just asking you to bring yourself and, you know, whatever we might be posting that we need supply-wise, but not necessarily a full occupation, a full encampment occupation.
Gotcha. Is there anyone talking about direct action against these arrests before detainees are... like, lost to sight?
You don't have to talk on mic.
Oh, yeah.
You mean?
Yeah. You could just say yes, and then we'll, or no. Just for the sake of hope.
Right. Yeah. I think, no, I'm being genuinely, like, silent. I'm not like, oh, I better. Uh-huh. But, like, I think that those discussions are happening, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't know anything specifically about that.
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
I don't know
specifics.
I know, so Unicorn Riot published the Homeland Security Informant Manual, the Informant Handling Manual yesterday.
Yeah. You can get that at Unicorn Riot. They have a Twitter, I know.
Yeah. UR_ninja.
Yeah.
So they, it's a 227-page manual on how to handle, not just handling informants, but also how to basically commit crimes to stop crime, how to make fake identities, fake names, fake social security numbers, fake insurance, bank accounts, basically running an entire like operation that's secretly a government, it's a government thing. And the outrageous part about this is that they give themselves the authority to commit crimes because they're the state. And then later on in the manual, it says, like, we can't, like, don't allow this manual to get produced into court discovery so they can claim that they were entrapped for very obvious reasons if you read the manual.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's page after page after page of just, like, how to basically run a criminal enterprise with government immunity.
Oh, my God.
So it's an amazing read.
Oh.
And definitely something that... can be shared with your local immigrant rights organizations, your mayors of sanctuary cities, the ACLU, and you know, people might be like, well, you're undermining agency, you know, you're keeping the cops from being able to do their jobs, and it's like, this is actually, so this is like the holy grail of government criminality and how to get away with it. And when you are an immigrant coming in,
you're hearing folks honk because there's a lot of signs that says, you know, honk if you want to abolish ICE and shit like that.
When you're an immigrant, you don't have a lawyer, and you're often brought in with 100 people in these court hearings, and just mass sentenced, or just, you know, having this kangaroo court where they're just going to throw you out or throw you in a cage. You don't know about this. Yeah. You don't have resources to counteract and challenge. You just don't know about it. So you're thrown in this Kafka-esque hellhole of despair. Yeah. And these are people that are crossing the border. They are legally allowed to cross the border into the United States and visit and then ask for asylum. They are being put directly into cages.
They are doing things legally. Yeah. People don't understand all that. Folks are doing it legally.
And at a certain level, the agents just do whatever the fuck they want, and they don't care.
Yes, it's the agents that we should be disrupting.
There has been no meaningful oversight by the federal government or Congress about this stuff. We have a government, you know, we have a majority of the government could really give a shit about immigrants' rights and about, like, human rights in general. We just got ourselves off the Human Rights Council at the UN because they think that'll solve the problem. Cool story, guys.
Yeah. Let's get Amnesty International in here.
Yeah.
Right, but what it's horrible. What they're doing is horrible.
There are these, like, big kangaroo courts like that, trying to process 100 people at once. It's, like, totally absurd. Like, people are lucky to get a law student to represent them.
Right.
Like, I have a friend who's, like, a law student and representing immigrants. Like, they're not...
Like, pro bono legal society. Yeah, and then they often make the argument that, they're not an American citizen, so then they're not entitled to the constitutional rights and protections.
They're legally trying to apply for asylum, and they just have no rights.
Yes. Yeah. So... Meanwhile, while we are coddling a guy like Paul Manafort and giving him all the chances that he wants and needs in order, you know, to keep the system fair, we have the two-tier justice system where it's being, you know, enforced very selectively. And if you are, you know, you are an immigrant, you are like in this situation, bottom of the barrel, they do not care about you. That's how they're able to get away with it. And it's a for-profit prison industrial complex. So these people, they are kicking it back to Congress. They're kicking it back for their elections. And they have no incentive to give a shit about people's rights that are not American.
And the people who vote them in are all, like, wealthy property owners who could care.
It's a complete absence of morality.
There's no democracy.
Yeah, more than even, like, American democracy, there's just an absence of morality and compassion.
Right, that's exactly it, because they're...
We saw a little bit of that walking by today. There are people who are openly in protest of this protest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're very angry at the undocumented for taking away their resources that enable them to buy purple suede leather shoes.
Like, oh, yeah.
Pay their taxes.
It's like, the undocumented people are the ones taking away your resources, and not the people who are getting multi-billion dollar tax incentives to ship jobs overseas in the first place.
My dad's company? No way. They're the good guys.
Right.
Uh-oh.
When Ivanka Trump sends all of her work to be done in Chinese sweatshops by child labor and gets incentives to do that, that's exactly the sort of people we're talking about there.
We're talking on mic with Mac. Are you in Mac?
I am not in Mac. Cool. I just met these lovely people today. My name is Stephanie. I just came over because we were having a discussion about creating some verbiage for flyers to go get all the Pride people over here.
The streets are swarming
with people who are here for Pride.
Right up the block. Oh, that's
we can do the bars, we can do the parade route, all of it. So you seem like you're an organizer.
So
I figured I'd come and chat with you about
I calmed with
Yeah, right now, today's the Dyke March. It's probably, what time is it?
It might just be starting,
to be honest.
Okay.
But
as quick as we can get the flyers made and like hand them out to people and put them up places,
I think it would be amazing. But where can folks find information about Mac?
And we came up with a hashtag, Pride Melts Ice.
Pride Melts Ice.
Pride Melts Ice. Yeah, people are really going with the melting situation. I think it works really well.
People have been doing no pride in police for a long time, too. That's like one to just...
We could do both,
No justice, no pride.
Have you seen the rainbow NYPD cruisers?
Oh, God. Disgusting. They're totally disgusting.
We can de-corporatize and de-state pride by bringing people here. Yeah.
That's what we did. Yesterday was Trans Day of Action, and we got a group that came after Trans Day of Action. Folks will come after the march. It's just a lot of the times the marches don't end till like 6.
You know, I lived in the neighborhood for a really long time. Yeah. So what I will tell you is that people begin to peel off from the march super early.
People who get on the route early,
they'll be like, let's go have brunch.
You know,
so like people are just like moving through the neighborhood. I live on 7th and Morton. People are already like, but if I leave my house at 10 a.m. that day or noon, they're already like, the streets are swarming. You know, not people who are still at the parade, but people who are like, okay, well, we saw the beginning of the parade, and now we're going to hang out. Those are the people we can get. We don't want to get, like, super drunk people, either, we were discussing, because that could cause some mayhem.
It could.
That'll be at the end of the day.
I'd like to mention that Mr. Michael Avenatti, who's Stormy Daniels' lawyer, is now representing ICE whistleblowers.
Whoa.
And he tweets right here, there are few things more gratifying in my role as an advocate than when a whistleblower trusts me with explosive information and looks to me to ensure it is released for maximum impact for the public good. Today will be a good day. It's been a good couple of days so far, a couple of releases, you know. We had, you know, the aggregated LinkedIn list of ICE agents, which people were like, oh my God, it's a dox. You're putting them in danger. It's like public information.
They're public employees. Yeah.
If you don't want to be known as an ICE agent, then don't post a public LinkedIn profile stating that you work for ICE.
Exactly.
I've been around like hacker scenes for a long time, and I'm like, boy, this is not a dox. This is a dox. You know, and it's like just you guys don't know what the hell you're talking about.
That's right.
We've got a detective and a white shirt. They just
strolling by.
Thank you for protecting us from ICE officers.
Thank you.
Police.
God, police. Well, we have a podcast called Art and Labor, and we're just like we're trying to like maybe mobilize like arty types to think about this stuff more.
Yeah.
That's kind of our aim.
Because
they're open to it. You just kind of got to, like, show them to come through.
People don't necessarily know what's happening.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, we just want to teach people and bring them in. Whatever we can do.
Yeah.
Are you with Mac too?
I'm not particularly associated with any organization for
the time being,
but you know, maybe I can be after this. What brought me out here really is just a lot of the historical parallels that are glaringly obvious to anybody who's done any kind of studying of the rise of fascism in Nazi Germany or many other places.
Yeah.
I'm John, by the way.
Hi, John. I go by OK.
OK.
My friend Lucia.
Lucia, it's a pleasure. Good to meet you both.
You know, we're just talking to folks.
Yeah.
You know, if we're gonna be here occupying for a while.
Yeah, get to know people.
We'll get to know people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But yeah, I think, you know, that's like what's really frustrating with a lot of liberals are like, you know, don't call it a concentration camp, and it's just like fucking hell. Like this, it's so like. That's not grounded in anything real.
It actually is a definition of what is happening. Yeah, that is what is happening.
That's correct.
And it's like, you know, it's just absurd. And yeah. I just like
the neoliberal establishment is ready to call the tone police on you.
Oh my
so
God,
make
please.
Sure that they don't. Yeah, no, I was.
Please
I,
don't cancel me.
Yeah, right. No, I'm
saying really, the wrong word. I know, but it's also I get being sensitive. I mean, you know what? Whatever. I got, you know, I want to play the card. I've got Jewish family members who survived the Holocaust. Like I've got whatever. Like it's, but it's this is. This is what it is, and this is how it starts, and we should know better
right. That
this is how it starts. And
that's
it could, you know, nobody's calling it a death camp right now, but it could easily turn into that because this is how it starts.
But some children have died in custody.
Yeah, because some children have died.
Children separated from their parents have died in these camps, and these camps are expanding.
Yeah.
And over the course of the past several days, it's gone from camps for several thousand to camps for tens of thousands. And most recently, I've heard that that's increased by another order of magnitude. And now the Trump administration wants funding for camps on the order of hundreds of thousands. So, Eric, this is how quickly it escalates. This is the slippery slope of fascism and what it looks like on the ground at the time. This is what it feels like to be in the midst of a nascent fascist ethnostate.
Right.
And that's what we're seeing right now. And all of the dehumanizing language, and he started his campaign with that.
Yeah. It's where it goes.
And the world is watching us now.
I mean, it didn't even start here. It started with Obama. It started with, you know, the George W. Bush administration.
Right.
It's been going for a long time, and it's just going to get worse unless we really...
I
first wore this shirt during the George W. Bush administration.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and your shirt says peace in many languages.
Yeah,
Arabic
and Hebrew and English.
I know it's, you know... That's just how it goes. Like this is like it's necessary to show force. It's necessary because like you know a lot of like we can't like elections aren't working. Then they're not the answer. I think what the answer is a powerful unionizing force to put pressure on whoever's in charge.
People have to start breaking the law.
Yeah, I mean, honestly...
People have to start breaking the law because the law is what's putting these people in...
So, direct action. Direct action.
Now,
the law... I'm just following orders was not a defense at Nuremberg, and it isn't now.
Exactly.
And so this administration has already been, there have already been strongly worded missives from the UN about the human rights violation aspect of what's going on. Now, that being said, for those of us on the ground who are attempting to avert the worst possible outcomes of what is happening now, we have to be careful not to expose ourselves to the authoritarian mechanisms any more than we absolutely have to. So to your point, I don't think the law should be a particular impediment to your conscience. You have to do what's right.
Yeah.
And when the law is wrong, you're obligated to resist it as an ethical agent in the world. But that being said, if you can resist within the confines of that legal structure, then you are a citizen protesting within your rights as opposed to a criminal agitator. And that differentiation is the difference between being out here with your allies building a movement and being broken in a jail cell awaiting trial. And so, I agree.
It's a multi-pronged approach.
Yeah.
It's a multi-pronged approach. It's, you know, trusting folks in many different aspects to do many different things. But what it is not is telling people, like... They were fine until they broke the law, and I wasn't with them anymore. Fuck you.
Yeah.
So, like,
and
it
also could
it
be against the law for us to organize here on the sidewalk at any moment. People can decide also, like, we've decided, you know, someone has their face covered, so now everyone is going to be disbanded. Yeah.
So that's what Eve was saying. That woman who was here, she was saying that since this is a federal building, the providence of this sidewalk is questionable. They may decide.
are too close to this building. We probably are breaking the law right now.
She told us this. So a standing protest is fine. We can be up and moving about all night within any proximity to these doors. If you're sleeping on the sidewalk, you have to be at least 10 feet from any entrance. So the a protest is most effective when it's active, when you're conscious, right? Because and once you start sleeping, then you get into this whole thing of homeless rights and where can you be and that type of thing.
But, that's fine. Everyone just takes turns sleeping.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why we need to have shifts, essentially, of people coming in and out. Ideally.
Yeah, I mean, you know, city is this New York. Our subway system runs 24 hours. People have jobs. I mean, poorly.
Yeah.
But better than most places. I was in Toronto. It's nuts. Yeah. There's just no, you can't, it just stops. it just stops. There's no like, oh, okay, I'll just wait a half an hour. Whatever.
MTA will take that compliment,
like,
though.
Like, no, I mean, honestly, it's, like, it's bad. It's super bad. Or subway's super bad. But many cities have a curfew. Many cities have, Toronto, it was, like, a big deal. Because I was there during, like, music week. And everyone was like, oh, yeah, the bars are open till 4 this week. And it's like, 4?
Why?
Only 4? Like, and then it's like, yeah, then normally everything closes at 2.
At 2.
Yeah. And so we have an interesting positioning here in New York City, and there's a lot of folks who, like, have shifts at night or, like, have totally opposite schedules. Like, you know, I know a lot of drag performers who their clocks are totally switched. They sleep all day, and they're up all night. So there's folks who can come out here at night and be awake.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then be fabulous.
Yeah, and look fucking good. Let's do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we should do a drag performance in front of the air. Yeah. That'd be really fun.
That'd be amazing.
Let's do it.
We were talking about trying to get some of the folks from Pride out here tomorrow.
No, I know.
Like posting, get some information out, right?
Yeah, like flyering. Yeah, that's what... A lot of, like, yeah, because I was in Trans Day of Action yesterday, and a lot of my friends went here right after, like, and there are folks, there's Dyke March today, folks are probably going to come after Dyke March, and then,
hope so.
And Pride, I mean, it's like, what I've found is a lot of the folks, the folks who are more radical really can't deal with Pride regular. Like the main pride.
Like the crowds and so forth.
It's just so shit. Yeah. And then, so a lot of folks go to the beach that day. A lot of the really radical folks who are just like sick of it and who have maybe been working a lot during Pride Month are just like, fuck it, gonna go to the beach.
Yeah.
But it's so big that there are other people who will definitely come through.
Yeah.
But I think from my experience, a lot of the people who are like doing queer liberation organizing, are just fucking sick of it. I don't know.
Yeah, I could see that.
Don't want to march with the cops.
It is hot.
Rainbow Lives Matter.
I mean, it kind of sucks. Like, when I did Trans Day of Action 4 years ago versus now, to me, it was kind of frustrating because, I feel like 4 years ago, it was, like, during one of the years when it was, like, Black Lives Matter was very in the open, folks were really into doing the anti-police chants. And I felt like this year it was really hard to get people to do the anti-police chants.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what is happening? Like, is it just, like, these are all young people and, like, they've been cycled in? Like, New York just moved so fast that...
Movement is going mainstream.
I don't even know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I just, like, we're in front of the police precinct. We need to yell this right now. You know, like...
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all related struggle, you know? It's like there's a trans woman who recently has been detained by ICE and is, like, being held in a men's prison. And, like, it's garbage. And then in Philly, there's a trans woman who was burning a Blue Lives Matter flag, and she was detained, and she's being detained in a men's prison. She's being detained by the most progressive DA in the country. You know, this is a very difficult struggle. Like, it's, like, you know, we have allies on the inside, like, in places like, this is, like, what DA Krasner, who's great in a lot of respects, but, like, is still holding a trans woman in a men's prison, holding
for what a lot of people would be, this is a minor crime to burn a flag, but to like that's gonna categorize as a major crime.
Yeah.
Like I just don't, you know, it's a lot going on, but it's all related.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a whole other argument.
You know, abolish ICE and the police too, and the military,
and abolish prison.
Yeah, and
prison. And you know, work is a crime.
Well, we'll figure out an ethical way to do work, because some has to happen, but...
Oh, sure.
Reparations for the Global South? I don't know. But that's kind of where I'm at with this stuff, but it's nice to talk to folks. Maybe we'll go off mic now and regroup, but...
Sure.
It was really nice to meet you. Do you have a Twitter?
I do, yeah.
What's your Twitter?
NYC_data_geek.
Geek. Okay, geek. Cool.
I am a shark on Twitter.
A shark, okay.
Cool.
And we were talking before to folks in Mac, which is, I think their Twitter is MACC_NYC. So find them there. We'll post them on our Twitter too. All right. See y'all on the other side.
Let's have fun, lots of fun.